Well, that has nothing to do with fear, amen? All right, we are free. Turn around to someone and say, I am free from now on. Amen. We're going to leave the kids in here for just a little bit, and I want to bring Greg. Mr. Greg Pearson, if you would come on up, sir. I am super thankful for all that Greg and his team have been doing, and we're going to give you this mic right over here. We have to pick just the right mic for you, my friend. Not this mic.
My name is Greg Pearson. I'm the Royal Ranger Coordinator here at Bethel. We haven't done an award ceremony here in a while, and we wanted to recognize some boys that have been with me for the last year or so. Wyatt's been with me for the last year, and Tate and Silas have been with us for the last couple of months. But we officially have an outpost chartered with the National Office of Royal Rangers as of this last month, so we're official through the district and through the national office, so we can participate anything statewide or nationwide with Royal Rangers. But we're going to give some awards out to these guys tonight. We're going to give them some vests. For Wyatt, he earned several merits over the last year. He earned Bible 1, Bible 2, Bible 3, and Bible 4. So the requirements for those is he had to earn, he basically did, for each Bible merit he earned, he had to do eight Bible lessons in class. He also earned rope craft, compass, tool craft, fire craft, and models and design. So he's been busy. Along with those merits, he earns advancements too, and he earned his White Falcon, Red Falcon, Bronze Falcon, and his Silver Falcon. So he's almost completed his first year in Discovery Rangers, and we're going to give him a vest with those awards on it. Now, Silas and Tate's been with me for a short time. Silas finished up his models and design, so we're going to give him his models and design merit. Okay. And Tate, he is almost finished with models and design, and him and Silas have almost finished Bible 1. So they're close to being done, but we wanted to get this stuff recognized as soon as we could because I've been putting it off for a while trying to get us registered with the national office. Thank you guys for all your support.
Excellent. Love it. Thank you so much. Good job, guys. I'm so thankful for that team that guides those young men, and for Miss Lindsay as well. And we're going to dismiss all the kids first through sixth grade at this point. Let's give them a hand as they go to their class. Amen. Awesome, awesome. We keep our kids in church and fix this country. Amen. All right. Okay. Well, it is fantastic to be here today, and we started last week with the series called Talking with God. Talking with God. We're gonna start with 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. And I think I put 2 Corinthians in my notes. I apologize. It's 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. May I borrow your Bible, sir? Kind sir. You know where? Do you know where 1 Corinthians? Can you? Sometimes I get a little caught up with what I'm doing on Sundays, and I forget that my Bible is in there. First Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. I quoted part of this last time. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, that we might know the things freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Good set of scriptures right there, amen? Talking with God. Last week we talked about communication and time. You're just going to have to set aside time and talk it out. Who in here will admit this week that they did just that? They set aside time to quiet themselves and talk with God. Raise your hands proudly and say, yes, I did that. All right, very good. Now, many times throughout the years, I've been asked about hearing God. How do I hear God? I want to hear God. I want to know his voice. How do I do this? Some people ask about how to pray. Now, I've been asked this for a long time in many different ways by many different people. How do you know it's God? Is that just me or my thoughts, or is that God? What do I say? Realistically, how do I communicate with God? Something that if we're not careful, we kind of fly over and we have to come back every once in a while and really think about it, just like you would want to with your wife. Sometimes you have to think about how you're communicating and getting along with your spouse. So we pray. Now, for years, I believed and taught that prayer is a two-way street. You're sending and receiving information. You're talking and you're listening. Technically, you can pray without the listening part of it. People quote prayers. They say prayers without the listening part of it. So technically, you can pray, and it's not necessarily a two-way street. Have you ever talked to someone, and really it wound up you just listening? Now, we don't have people like that in this church, thank the good Lord, but I've been other places in the world, and you really just wind up listening. You're not having a conversation. You are listening to someone else talk. Sometimes I think God may think that about us. Sadly, I think that we get our prayer time with God, and it's easy for us to say, Lord, help me with this. Here's my needs. Help me, help me, help me. Bless so-and-so, amen, and you go off. So what we're going to talk about a little bit today is that about in our prayer, how to stop and listen. Now, prayer comes from two Greek words squished together, which they do that a lot, prosukomahami. And that's exactly how the Greeks say it. Trust me, not really. Two Greek words, pros and eukohami. pros is a preposition, which means like a direction, like to. Yukami says to wish, means to wish. You wish to something. By implication, we're praying or talking to God, usually kind of an admonition or a request and things like that. That's kind of what that is talking about. Pray. Prayer. But what I want to get into today is not just prayer, but I want to get into communication, because I believe communication results in relationship, results in love. Our minds, our thoughts are so bombarded with signals and information from all kinds of sources, right? That a lot of times it's difficult for us to receive something so revelational as what God might want us to receive, because our minds are so bombarded with stuff. So what we need to do is take some time to be quiet and listen and let some of that knowledge and that wisdom and that revealing stuff that God wants to give to us, we need to let that stuff in. And sometimes that takes us quieting ourselves and listening. It reminds me of this guy. Had an opportunity to drive his mother-in-law around town for some reason one day. And he happened to be speeding a little bit, got pulled over by a police officer. Police comes, knocks on his window, he rolls it down and says, "Sir, you know you were speeding." And he was like, "Really? Really? I didn't think I was. Maybe my speedometers are broke." And his mom-in-law in the back seat pipes up and says, "Oh, you knew you were speeding. I've been telling you you're going too fast for the past 30 minutes. They kind of shook it off, and the police officer said, "Well, sir, also, I noticed you don't have your seatbelt on." And he said, "Well, I normally have it on. I took it off when I pulled over, and you were coming up to the car window. I took it off." And the mother-in-law in the back seat said, "Oh, you know better than that. You didn't take it off. I told you, you got to start wearing your seatbelt." So police officer said, kind of shook that off and said, "Well, also, you know, you have a tail light out that you need to get fixed on the right side." And he said, "Oh, I didn't realize that. I'll get that fixed." "Oh, you know good and well that tail light was out. I told you last week that tail light was out, and you're just too lazy to get out there and fix it." And the guy finally had enough. He turned around and said, "Please stop talking." The officer was kind of shocked. He looked back in the back seat and said, "Ma'am, does he talk like this to you very often?" "No, only when he's been drinking." She should have stopped talking a long time ago. Amen. Stop talking. "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered to the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him, but I have revealed them unto you by my Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The basis of our communication is spiritual. Spiritually revealed information. Here's a definition of communication that I found online this week. Communication is the process of sending and receiving messages through verbal or nonverbal means, including speech, oral communication, writing, graphical representations like maps and charts, signs, signals, and behavior. Simply put, communication is the creation and exchange of meaning. To break it down, in any communication, there is a sender, there is a receiver, there is a message, and the interpretations on both ends of that message. Okay? Last week, like I said, we established that God desires a very personal relationship with you. Okay? Amen? Everybody got that? It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, anything. God desires a very personal and individual relationship with you. That means that we're going to have to set aside some time and talk to God, okay? So now we realize that God has information for us. He wants to tell us some things. In this scripture that we just read, and 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, I have revealed them to you by my Spirit. What has he revealed to his Spirit? Here's what he says. The things which God hath prepared for those that love him. The things that God has prepared for you, if you love God, that's what he's revealed to you by his Spirit. Well, you mean like heaven. God's prepared heaven for us, right? Maybe he's talking about that. I don't think so, because number one, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered to the heart of man. We can read about heaven. We can hear about heaven. This is something revealed that's very personal. All the things that God has prepared for you that love him. Like in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works, which God prepared beforehand. God's prepared good works for you to walk in. And this is just one example of the information that God has for you that he's trying to get to you. Now, sometimes this information may be huge. It may be saving someone's life. For example, we read in Mark 6:48, you remember when after Jesus fed the 5,000 and he gets the disciples together, sends them over across the sea in a boat, he goes up on a mountain to pray alone. Mark 6:48 says this about Jesus. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. He says Jesus saw them. Now, Mark tells us also that it was the fourth watch of the night, which in that culture was in between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. John, when he tells the story, he says that, quote this, rode 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs. 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs. Now, that's about 4 miles, which they say is almost halfway across this section of the sea that they were at, 4 miles out. Also, Matthew tells us that Jesus was on a mountain alone. He went up there to pray alone. So we also know that it was storming. It was cloudy, windy, probably loud. It was a bad enough storm, the disciples thought they were probably going to perish. But it says Jesus saw them toiling at the oars. You see, this sea isn't a sea with your eyes. It's a sea with your spiritual eye. It's a perception. He perceived this. He knew something was going on. He knew in his spirit. It's a different type of language when he was talking with God. It may be something huge, the information that God has for you, like that. It may be something smaller, and this happened to Jesus as well. It seems not a big deal, but maybe it was very beneficial. In John 1:47 and 48, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. He knew without any kind of physically seeing, mentally seeing, hearing about it, reading about it, he knew. There's another language going on, spiritually revealed knowledge. God has this for us. I was praying about this several years ago, just to give you another example, and I want, like most Christians, I want to hear from God. I want to recognize his voice. I want to hear what he has to say, and I want to obey that, and I want to go through life like that. I say, God, I want to hear you. Have you ever been through times you don't feel like you're hearing from God? Anybody? That happens to us sometimes. I feel like I'm not hearing from God a whole lot. And actually, it's not God's fault, is it? But I was working at a church in a small town, and my sons were in a baseball team, and they were at practice. I have two boys about the same age playing high school baseball. And so I'm at the church working as a praise and worship leader, and I was praying about this. God, I want to know how to hear you. I want to understand your voice and recognize your voice. How do I hear you? And as I was praying about that time, a thought come to my mind, or an unction in my spirit, and it just immediately popped in my head. It's, you need to go get the boys from baseball practice. It was such a voice that I turned and stopped what I was doing and turned and looked at the clock, and it was an hour before they were actually supposed to get out of practice. You know, coaches don't let kids out for practice early in high school baseball, you know, on a beautiful day. And I thought, there for a minute I thought God was talking to me, but that was just me, Lord, sorry about that. And immediately God said, you just now asked me to say something to you, and I do, and you're not going to follow through with it. How do you expect me to continue to talk to you and give you direction if I don't have any faith that you're going to follow through with it? It doesn't do either one of us any good, right? So I thought, okay, I know it's an hour early, but maybe this is God. I'm going to go pick up the boys from baseball practice. I drive up to the field, and as I drive up to the field before I get parked, here they come. They're walking out of the field, out to the car. And they got in the truck and said, hey, how did you know to come pick us up? And I said, well, and I just smiled and said, the Holy Spirit told me to come get you guys. And they're like, oh, cool. No big deal. And I'm like, what? You hear from God all the time? No. But it was something small. It may seem very insignificant, but I remember that story and will always remember that story because it was an example of God saying, listen, I have stuff for you to know. I have information and I want to share it with you. Sometimes you just got to stop talking and listen. There's information out there. Let's look at a few ways that God communicates with this information. God has information. He communicates this information. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God communicates this information. We have an example in Matthew 17:5, where God spoke audibly. People could hear it. That's when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And other people heard it. It sounded like a voice from a cloud. We have an example in Hebrews 1:1. The writer talks about God talking to us in different ways and talking to us through his son Jesus. He says this, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. God spoke in many ways. Verse 2, in these last days has spoken to us in his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. See, we know the message of Jesus because of the Bible. Also, we have examples of God communicating to mankind through mankind. Luke 10:16. This is when Jesus, are you going to look that verse up? Or, oh, I've got your Bible. I stole his Bible. Luke 10:16. Sorry, I thought that was funny because he's always looking up every scripture I call out. Luke 10:16. Jesus is sending out the 70 to go out into the world to preach the good news. He says, the one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me, and he rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So God can communicate to mankind through mankind on occasion. God can also obviously communicate through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God, God breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. This is information. This is great information. And in this case, great anointing. Thank you, Pastor Temple. Now, there are some discussions about, well, we know that the New Testament writers considered the Old Testament scripture. Okay, we know that. Do we know that the New Testament writers considered what they were writing to be scripture or sacred writings? I say yes, we do, on several occasions. And we can read about this. Just for an example, so we straighten this up. 2 Peter 3:15-16. Peter's talking about the letters that Paul has written. And he said sometimes they're going to be hard to understand. But he said, which would be untaught and unstable, people will distort them. As they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. The letters which Paul wrote, he considered scripture. 1 Timothy, here's another example. 1 Timothy 5:18 says this, "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing," and also another quote, "The laborer is worthy of his wage." That first quote is from Leviticus. That second quote is from Luke 10:7. Scripture. So the New Testament writers considered what they were writing sacred scripture. Yes, many times they did, if not every time. I think if God moves you to write something that's going to be biblical, it's a good chance that they knew that. So God speaks to us through Scripture, Old and New Testament. Sometimes God speaks through actions. Now we like this one because it's sometimes irrefutable when God speaks to us by actions, right? There's like no doubt about that. Like in the Old Testament, God spoke through actions with the Israelites when he caused the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day is how he led them. When the cloud would lift off of the tent of meetings, they knew it was time to pack up and go, right? God speaks to us and communicates information to us by his actions. We've all probably experienced that and probably have some great stories that we can't hardly explain it, but this happened and I knew everything was going to be okay. God worked it out. God communicates through our actions. What I mainly want to talk about is what I believe is one of the most profitable and most used ways that God communicates to mankind, and that's spirit to spirit. The reason I say that is because each one of these that I listed, whether it be audible, whether it be God's actions, whether it be the Word of God, whether it be someone that God has sent to talk to you, all of these will still involve this other type of communication, and that is spirit to spirit. Remember, Paul said in Corinthians, you're a natural man, you're not going to understand this without the Spirit. Even when God spoke from a cloud, there were people that said, "What was that thunder? No, that wasn't thunder." So there's always this aspect of spiritual communication that's going to be what God wants to use. And this is what I get asked about a lot. How do I hear God? How do I have this spiritual communication? Amen. Like we read in 1 Corinthians 2:11-16, look at that. "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. And we have received that spirit." It's just like in my example that I used going and getting the boys. I didn't know. I didn't automatically say, oh, yes, Lord, and I take off and I go do it. I question it. So sometimes when we do open up our spirits and we receive information from God, it still has to go through a filter before we act on it. So we almost have to train our brains to be careful when we're filtering information that we get from God. Okay? But this was, it was an unction. It was like an immediate thought. Because here's the deal. I would love to say, okay, here's what's going to happen. First, you're going to experience this. And then you're going to experience this. And you're going to hear a ding. And then you're going to hear a beep, beep, beep. You know, it's just going to sound just like that. And then the next thing you hear is words from God. Hey, that would be easy, right? But that would mean that there's no relationship. You don't have to have a relationship. You're just waiting on a signal. Ha ha! You have to spend time with God. That's how He designed this relationship to happen. And you're going to have to listen. You're going to get that feeling. It's going to be a feeling that you get. An unction is what some people say. A couple of months ago, I was praying kind of along these same lines, and I wanted to happen in service. God, please keep me open to anything that you want to have happen in our church services. I want to minister to people. I want you to do to these people what you need to do to these people. Because God and I both love you big time, and we want you to be impacted, and we want you to be impactful. So I was praying this, and God said, okay, then get up and tell them spots. And I said, what? I thought, oh, that's crazy. Man, I've got a great imagination, dude. It is all, it's quick. And that's just me. And once again, God said, did you not just ask me to tell you something? And I do, and you're not going to act on it. What good does it do either one of us? And I said, okay, God, I'm going to step on faith, but between you and I, this sounds crazy. Because I didn't know, except just be obedient. So I get up and I say, listen, I think God wants to heal somebody. We want to pray for something. If this resonates in your spirit, spots. I had like 4, 5, 6 people come up. One had spots on his eyes. He had vision problems, spots. He was having a surgery that week. Two people come up and had spots on their skin that they wanted prayer for. One person had a spot on an x-ray that he had gotten that earlier that week. So it made sense. It rung true with some people, even though to me it sounded crazy. And God was like, told you so. It's that feeling, but we have to step out and take it sometimes. We have to take that risk. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit, or testifies, in the New American Standard Bible, testifies with our spirit that we are the children, that we are the children of God. We communicate spiritually. It's important to realize that so you're not always listening for this voice in your head, like an audible thing. It means we have to engage our spirits. Matthew 16:15-17. This is where where Jesus is talking with Peter. And he said to him, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood, you didn't get this information through any other way, physically. You got this information spiritually. My Father in heaven gave you this information. If you're a Christian today, you have heard from God. that's how we become a Christian. We're drawn by the Spirit. That means we're spiritually talking and communicating with God. And remember that communication is basically sender, receiver, a message, and interpretations of that message on both sides. God has information. God delivers information. We have to receive it and imply interpretation. Interpretation. You don't even get to interpret it if you don't know that you're receiving it. So it's important to even know that God has information and he's trying to get it to you. We come back to this point that we're going to have to find time to quieten ourselves, to quieten our minds, to be still for a little bit in order for our minds to see the revelation of, yea, the deep things of God that he has for us. To stop, listen intently. Stop and listen. When Jill and I first got married, we were at the house one time with Mom and Dad, and they just finished supper or something, sitting around a table, and Jill was telling Dad something. And he kind of had a pleasant smile on his face and was, you know, kind of doing this. And I thought, well, it's kind of unlike him. Yeah, I mean, you know, just I noticed something different. Jill gets up and goes and helps Mom with the dishes in the kitchen or something, and Dad leans over to me, giggles a little bit, and says, she talked so fast, I didn't understand a word she said. True story. And I thought that was the funniest thing in the world because I'd never seen Dad do that. You know, he loved Jill and he wanted to, so he was just like, See, I didn't have a problem understanding Jill because we talk a lot. We talked on the phone a lot. We went on dates and we talked. We communicated. I knew exactly what she sounded like and exactly what she meant. And she just talks fast for some people, for my dad. He got to where he could understand her just fine, though, too. But see, this is almost like a different language. It's a new language. It's not English or another language that we speak audibly, but it's a spiritual language. So it's a little bit new. You don't just get saved and bada bing, you're just great at it. You're just great at knowing God's voice. It's a growing process. But if you will give God some time, if you will spend some time listening for God's voice, he will grow you in that language exponentially because he has information and he's very personal and he wants to relate directly to you. Jim, perhaps God has this fantastic way where you can weld stuff and you can contain all of your welding gear in just a belt. You can just go around. You don't have to have this huge thing, a whole lot of electricity. It's just a belt. That's an invention God may have for you. How about that? It'll make you rich, right? Maybe there's this car idea, and God wants you to give you this car idea, and you can run a whole engine for 100 miles on a glass of water. We don't know. But wouldn't that be great? God has information for us. Deep things of God. It's in the Bible. I'm not even making it up. The deep things of God. Can't imagine what the deep things of God may be. But I love it, and I want part of that. And I'm going to have to stop sometimes, slow down my mind, and think about what God wants to say. What are you trying to say to me, God? Luke 10:42. This is when Mary and Martha were entertaining Jesus and some other guests in their house. Luke 10:42 says, but only one thing is necessary. This is Jesus talking. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What is the good part that Jesus considered that Mary was doing? In Luke 10:39, just a few verses before, She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. The good part, she was seated at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. That's the good part. She has chosen the good part. We have examples in the Bible of people being filled with the Holy Spirit while listening to a sermon. And examples in the New Testament were people being healed while listening to a sermon. I asked myself this very difficult question this week. And I don't want you to ask yourself this. If you don't want to, it's okay. But I said this: what is my listening to talking ratio in my communication with God? Think about that. That's kind of rough, right? What's my listening to talking ratio in my communication with God? Am I taking time to stop, clear my mind, and listen to God? Now, I think that you can listen to God all the time, 24 hours a day. If you're working, if you're playing sports, if you're at school, whatever it is, you can always be open to God ministering to you. And you know, I call it having your spiritual antenna up. And you just bing, bing, bing. You get a ping. You're walking through Walmart, and you get that ping. You know, you can always hear from God. I don't say that you can't always hear from God. You should. But perhaps there's times that we need to stop and clear our minds and relax our thinking so that God doesn't have such a hard time trying to squeeze in some revelation knowledge into our thinking in order for us to apply it to our lives. Because sometimes it seems that we often expect God to squeeze in his information during our talking. And even though we can hear God all the time, sometimes I believe we need to stop and listen. Sometimes you're only going to be able to hear, truly hear, when you stop speaking. Talking to God is something that anybody can do without a commitment of relationship. Talking with God involves a deeper relationship that requires listening and results in spiritual growth. Talking with God sometimes is this. Shh. Is he talking to you today? If you will bow your heads, please. God, we are thankful that you love each one of us individually so much that you want to have a personal relationship with us. Help us realize that more and more every day, please. And we are also thankful that not only can we come and talk to you and just unload our day and just tell you all the things about our lives, and God, we are thankful for that. We also know, God, that you have information for us that you're trying to communicate to us. Teach us more and more every day how to hear your voice, how to stop and take time to listen to you. What is it that you're trying to say to us today? Now, if there's anybody here that you feel like today God's talking to you, you feel a pull on your heart, deep inside your spirit, perhaps, you feel like today's the day that you want to give your life to Christ, I want to invite you to come forward so that we can pray with you today.